got out for a nap.
You sound like you need a nap. Wait, did you just wake up from a nap, or?
Yeah, I just woke up from a nap.
Oh, you bastard. I've been awake this entire time. Hello, welcome to episode 27 of the unofficial Hunter Hunter podcast. I need to put this cup away. I am Dame Dr. Foxy Brown, and I'm joined by.
Diego, hey guys, what's up? Just eating some fish here. It's delicious.
Really? You should have made noises so
Nom nom nom.
they would fully get the innuendo with that.
Oh. Well, I guess.
Bullet Beast, for reasons heretofore unknown to us, is not available for this episode.
He was moving his stuff from across the hall. Remember, he had that whole thing where he's
Yeah,
moving
but he
and
said
his internet is down.
earlier today, he said, "Yay, internet," and I don't see him. But
Oh, yeah, maybe he just decided that he was too cool and had other things to do.
or he decided upon viewing of this episode that he wasn't capable of the awesome that the episode handled, and therefore excused himself
Yes.
without telling us. So
Blood, his stomach was too weak to handle the blood.
he couldn't finish it, and he didn't want to tell us that he didn't finish the episode.
Yeah. What a
So
bitch.
I know, right? So we're just going to discuss episode 24. Was it the Zoldyck family?
Yep, because there's no way we're doing the chapter readings in between me and Foxy.
Hell no.
There's only so much we could do.
That would be incredibly unentertaining.
Yeah.
It'd just be me using this voice to read everybody.
You should try like some sort of inflection or something
I
like when you
don't
say.
have that skill
Oh.
at all. Or I would do it. It's like nobody. Well, okay. If you follow me on Twitter, you maybe know what I look like. But in general, there's nothing to be embarrassed of. I seriously do not have that skill, or I would be doing it. Or, I laugh at people too much, so I want people to laugh at me. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like I'm insecure about my voice acting skills.
The Zoldyck family begins with the thing that I completely skipped, with Kakura Mountain or whatever, and the Zoldyck family lives here, and they're assassins,
Yeah,
and
that's the new intro for the episodes now, at least for this arc. I feel like.
I guess they're gonna change intros every arc at this point. I can't imagine what the Celestial Tower thing will be.
Ooh, I'm excited. Celestial Tower. Place where people make money, get rich, or die trying.
Yep. Then they learn about Nen.
And then 50 Cent comes out. I mean, sorry, Hisoka comes out.
50 Cent. And he gets shot 9 times in the face.
Yep.
Then he rises again like a phoenix from the ashes and drops his heavily anticipated debut album.
And the club starts playing in the background. The acoustic version, though. The acoustic version, because you can't have rapping and anime in the same time. It's too much.
You can. You totally can.
Name one anime that has rapping in it.
God damn it.
For
Why are
like.
you putting me on the spot? I know their
Because.
stuff. I mean, not for insert songs, but there's like rapping in songs. Damn it. Yakitate Japan had a rap song as the outro. They may have used more than one.
No, I wasn't talking about intro and outro songs. I
I
was
know you're
talking
talking
about.
about insert songs, but
No,
nobody.
I was talking inside, like in the anime. Like, if you're like.
The cool kids call them insert songs.
Whatever, same thing.
Nerd. And they also have character songs as well, but I think in general nobody makes their characters rappers because that's just weird. I don't think the av I mean, first of all, I don't think the average voice actor can even sing, so they need to stop doing character songs.
I know there's only one that I can recall in recent history, and that's Killer B from Naruto. But I don't think you know who that is.
Nope. I've seen people
He's
talk
like,
about them.
yeah, he's like a Muhammad Ali rapping ninja.
See, that defeats every fraction of the purpose. As a ninja, why are you rapping? He's like,
Because he's, what's the word I'm trying to find? He's urban.
wow, so racist. The whole point is to like not have people detect you.
No, he like and he uses eight swords and he doesn't care. He's He's got quite the mouth on him, too, though,
I'm
from
sure
what I
he's, well,
recall.
he's urban, so of course he
Yes.
does.
Yes.
Anyway, to actually talk about the anime we're supposed to be discussing,
Exactly.
it continues from where we left off last week, with right after the confrontation between Canary Gone and Gone, basically, because the other dudes are just standing there, and she's on the ground after Kikyo shot her with her fan, because fans shoot bullets.
It was like an energy blast, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was Nen, obviously,
Right.
because it would be ridiculous if a fan was a gun. If it was an umbrella, that would be on point, but a fan is
Yeah.
just ridiculous.
Or if it was a, Yeah, that's
I don't even know what you were gonna say.
I was gonna say blade, but yeah, that was
So,
Gunblade. Get it? Haha.
yeah,
No. Yeah.
there is a flashback of a younger Killua coming back home after a mission, and Illumi is all like, "Sup, bro? Did you finish?" And he's like, "Why would I be coming back if I, whatever?" Was it just me, or did Illumi switch sides of Killua?
No,
Or
he did.
just like, okay, I thought it was.
No, he did because he basically appeared right behind him, and then like all of a sudden he appeared in front of him on the other side like really fast. Because that was right after he said, he asked him, it's like, did you complete your mission? And Killua was like, yeah, bitch, you were there. You were watching me the whole time. Like,
It's like, you wouldn't let me go on a mission by myself.
yeah.
Come on. You don't trust me.
Yeah. So he just kind of ignores him because, like, I guess, Illumi tries to show off that he's fast, and he walks away. And as soon as he's walking away, he sees Little Canary.
Like, bows to him. He's like,
Yeah.
hey. And he's like, okay, you're obviously new, so I'm just gonna keep walking.
Yeah. Disappeared. And she looks around and couldn't find anybody. Dude, I laugh so hard when Dominic and Jammer said that
That's
when they saw her.
incredibly racist. It's like,
I was
what,
like,
really?
this is little Foxy. I was like, oh, hey, it's funny because why? Because the color? Like, that's why.
It's clearly I'm the only black girl that you know. It's that doesn't have like permed hair. It's completely racist, and I'm ashamed of both of them. That's just like, I don't know. Y'all are Mexican. Y'all probably wouldn't take that well if I said you were both racist.
Dude, you could do whatever. You could just say at me. I don't really care anymore. It's really not. It doesn't define me.
What, being racist or being
No,
Mexican?
being Mexican. If I was racist, that'd be like, it's one of my characteristics.
Wait, man. People don't
I feel like you
own.
have to be proud to do that.
People don't own being racist, though, because it's
Because it's
socially
frowned upon?
unacceptable.
Yeah, because it's
Yeah.
frowned upon.
So you would rather make a big deal about me saying that you're Mexican, which you are, than
Yes.
me saying that you're racist, which I have no proof that you actually are.
Right, but I feel like if at this point, if I was, you'd know.
Well, yeah. Having talked to you this much, I probably would have figured it out by now.
Yeah.
Or this podcast would not be going on, because you'd be like, oh my god, you are black. I am disgusted. I can't do this. But oh, I was just like, you both have met me in person. This is only because I like Canary as a character. I'm not going to go off on the two of you, but.
But she comes over to Killua as he's eating an apple and says that
He's like
she's
polishing that. I was like,
right.
took a while to bite it, but that means nothing.
Introduces herself as Canary, says she's an apprentice butler, and then Killua's like, here, have my apple. And she's like, no,
Like,
okay.
I know I can't take anything from
Yes.
you. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. It's like, that is your apple, Master Killua. And then he's like, dude, don't be so formal. Just call me Killua. And she's like, no, I cannot do that because I am a servant.
Because I don't want to die. And he's like, oh, well, that's boring. And then they notice that there are a ton of people that just trespassed. And he's like, oh, well, you know, they're not strong, so you don't really have to do anything. And she's like, yeah, but they tied up Mike today as they were doing this so they could test me. He's like, oh, well, then don't fail.
Yeah, and this is all filler, by the way.
Yeah,
Like, you know, I know how you asked earlier.
parts of it were there, like the bit with with him in the tree. The other part that was actually there is this fight happened, but not on screen, because Zebro and the dude that survives, whose name I forgot, they have a conversation, and Zebro teases him that one of the hunters that came for the Zoldyck was a guy that got beat by an apprentice butler. And being that she's the only apprentice butler we knew at the time, it can be inferred that Canary beat him up. But obviously, it didn't happen to this extent.
Yeah, I was talking more about the fact that she's from Meteor City. Or
Oh,
Meteor
yeah.
City.
This was like, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember them having this lengthy conversation. I remember Killua asking if they could be friends, and her saying no. And I think that was the extent of the flashback in the manga.
Yeah. But
And then
I
she,
enjoyed it. I mean, it's actually pretty
yeah,
cool.
it was a nice touch. Obviously, because we know they're going to Meteor City after this, or not Meteor City, but they're going to interact with people from Meteor City. And she says, like, straight out in the open, yeah, I'm probably awesome because I'm from Meteor City, and it's a place where a lot of mafia members and Phantom Troop members come from.
Yeah, and that
So.
whole entire part, I was like, oh, wait, this is how they're gonna reveal it, but you know, whatever. I
It
just.
was just like text on a page. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, so if you ever in Meteor City, take me and I'll show you around. I'm like, that's kind of cute, I guess. What are we doing here?
We're introducing you to fan fiction
Yeah, I mean,
of
clearly.
and Canary, because that's what's gonna happen.
She's the only age-appropriate female, I think. Yeah, in the story, if you're into that. Obviously, if you're not into it, there's a lot of age-appropriate dudes in the story.
Yes. But then he teaches her the rhythm echo, which is that technique where he kind of utilizes the shadow step to create images of himself. And he kind of just does it little, and she like looks r like honestly shocked at it at the technique, and Killua thinks he's all sorts of badass. He's like, "Yeah,
He
look at
always does. I
yeah."
feel like everyone in his family, with the exception of maybe his two older brothers, like existed to make him feel really good about himself. Especially, obviously, especially the servants. They don't have a choice. But I don't think she was acting. She probably assumed someone his age wouldn't be able to do it. Because when she shows it off later, and after she's already defeated everyone, and he's like, you think you're way stronger than I am, don't you? She's like, probably.
Yeah. But after he shows her that step, basically you get a bunch of hoodlums, because they're wearing hoodies, come up to the door, or basically they come up to where, like, Gon got his ass kicked last time with Canary sitting there, and she's just like, leave. And everyone's like, who are you, little girl? And it's like, we don't want to hurt you. You know, we're trying to get to see the Zoldyck. And she's like, I can't allow you to pass without permission. You guys are gonna, you know, don't try me. And the guys are like, we are going to pass whether you like it or not. If you let us pass, we'll spare your life. And you know, Canary says a whole thing with like, if you pass this line again, I shall remove you from here. So leave now. And main boss guy says that he just basically stands there. Meanwhile, the rest of his team kind of goes up against Canary, and Canary just kicks ass, all sorts of ass right here.
Like it almost looked like she was fighting them, I guess, in a similar way to that Kenshin did. It's like
Yes.
she's hitting them pretty hard. Some of them are bleeding, but it's not like hard enough to kill anybody. But they're clearly knocked all the way out. And at the end of the fight, there's a giant pile of just unconscious bodies in front of her.
Yeah, and we got to see so much more blood than we usually see, which is awesome because it was about fucking time.
Yeah, especially since we're getting on the heels of two pretty violent arcs back to back, and then of course, well, I guess Greed Island is okay.
Yeah.
But and then after that, it's pretty violent.
So she basically kicks everybody's ass. And then the main guy is there with the bandana and the eye patch. And he asks her if she's a Zoldyck. And she says, no, I'm just an apprentice butler. He's like, with your abilities, you're not even a match for the butlers themselves. Let alone the Zoldycks. Because I just took you guys all out without breaking a sweat. So the dude pulls two swords out of nowhere. Like, basically his chest. And then he charges at her. And she's like, bitch, it's a futile effort. And she gets down and then immediately dodges all the swords and then begins to do the shadow step.
He, like, spits a dagger at her.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that part where she blocks his swords.
But she's right, like, in his face.
Right.
So he has a dagger in his mouth for some reason. And he spits it at her and stabs him in the... He stabs her in the arm.
Yeah, somehow he's able to spit, yeah, like with so much force. Like, I don't know if you could do that in real life. But once again, cartoon, not really gonna... I'm suspension of disbelief here already. But so she basically says that... the guy says that he's a hunter and that he can't allow a little girl like Canary to defeat him. Meanwhile, Canary is such a badass that she just pulls out the little dagger from her shoulder and blood goes spraying everywhere. And this is where she does the shadow step technique.
Yes.
To which Killua was like surprised, and even more so the hunter, because he has no fucking clue what the hell's happening right now. And so he goes and starts to swing at one of them and misses. And it's basically just kind of like a, I don't want to call it a shadow clone, but that's kind of what it is, because he missed, or he sliced through the
reflection. The after image.
Right, the after image. So he missed twice, and then before he realizes, like, she's four times around his face. Like, she, transports or teleports to his, like, in front of him and punches him, knees him in the stomach, and then hits him in the nose with her baton, and then there's nosebleed everywhere. Like... Once again, just so much blood. It was just awesome. Like,
let me take a moment. Even though this is filler, right? Of,
yes.
Of all the things that they created filler of, I have no problem with this.
Oh, no, not at all.
Canary is introduced as a strong character, but it's kind of, like, underscored because, yes, she is beating up Gon, but he's not actually doing anything other than stepping forward. So... on a scale of comparing her to the other characters we've met. I mean, obviously we don't know how strong these hunters would have been, but we know that being able to get the title of hunter guarantees that you're strong to a degree. So for her to effortlessly dismantle what looked like 40 or 50 dudes with just a walking cane is kind of badass.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
And so she calls for Zebro, and Zebro comes out of the bushes.
Yeah, like, everyone seems to be creepy in this fucking, like, place. Everyone's always, yeah. Like, everyone's hiding behind the bushes.
It's like, I knew you were here, because you have that giant dog behind you,
yeah.
And you can't hide that. And he's like, why don't you let Mike clean it up? And the guy that, I think we've seen him already, that stayed on with the family is like, whoa. Don't kill me. I was just with these dudes for the money. I just want to live. That's all. And we, of course, because we've met him, we know that he stays on with the family and works in the guardhouse.
Yeah.
And
so that's why he meant. Like, that's why he was all pissed off and was saying that he did not believe in Gon, thinking that he could get past. You know
the
where
butlers, basically.
Right.
And, what's her name? Kikyo. It cuts away from the flashback eventually. And Gon is like, well, we don't believe you that Killua doesn't want to see us, but whatever. We're gonna be here for a while, so you let him know that if he ever wants to come see us, we'll be staying around the town. She's like, just go away before you screw things up. And we get to see Killua still hanging from the roof, all beaten up, and Maluki's in there with him, being all not threatening in the least, but trying to look tough.
As tough as you can look with a pink shirt on.
Right. And he eventually threatens to kill his brother's friends. And that's when Killua just effortlessly rips his chain from the roof and puts a crazy face on and is like, if you touch them, I'll kill you. And it sort of it cuts back and forth between this moment and the group with Gon. And the mother is about to say something, and she gets, I don't know, a walkie-talkie call, because it doesn't seem to be a phone call, but I know she has
No,
a
I think,
headset
yeah, I think
in her
that that,
thing.
yeah, I'm pretty sure that that was a headset thing. Like, she has, like, maybe, like, access to cameras or something around the
Yeah, I think
mansion.
so. Judging by what we've seen later on with her, she seems to have in her visor camera connections. And she says, well, she might actually be blind. Sort of. Maybe it
Maybe.
beams into brain. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she says,
Science.
Father, you can't do this. You always let Kilo get his way or whatever. And the first time I read this manga, I thought she was talking about her husband. No, that's not what I thought. I thought that Zeno was her father, not thinking that father-in-law, and
Yeah.
they say father.
Yeah, they
And
automatically become father or
well,
become the daughter, right?
they've been married for some time,
No,
I
but I'm
assume.
saying, like, in
Yeah,
Japan
I know. Yeah,
culture, like,
they get brought into the family,
right, and they just basically address him as father.
but I also meant that they've been together for a while because Illumi is sort of old.
Yes.
So she's like, "You guys hold whatever thought I was giving you. I have to go right now," and she leaves. And Kalato's just like standing there, glowering at them. And he's like, friends, huh? And I was like, oh, you poor little bastard.
Yeah.
You just want to be the main character. That's all it is.
I
Like,
once again, you're just missing your love for the Zoldyck family is coming in, and it's
it's
affecting
not
your.
though. It's not the whole. No, but
No, but
clearly,
I'm talking
like,
about your love for him slash her
it's not him
is.
slash her. It's like everyone right now, because as I was dropping knowledge, I was like, yeah, my favorite characters in the family are Kiki and her youngest son. And they just like, I don't know if they assumed I meant Killua or they just like glossed over it. It's like, wait, do you mean the little girl that was there? And I mean, yeah. I'm like, yes, her youngest son.
Yeah. The little kid wearing the kimono.
It's like, holy shit, how is that a guy? I'm like, that's
Because
what he says.
the kimono looks awesome in the anime series.
I think that's what it is. They're all
Isn't it?
thrown. And the mole, too. I think the
Right?
mole makes him look really girly.
They had to figure out a way to make it really badass. So it's like, okay, we're gonna take this badass little kid who's a killer, and we're gonna dress him up in a kimono. So that way, people be like, "Who is this? Why'd you bring a little girl to the fight?" No, joke's on you, bitch. It's a little boy.
I think with
He's
him,
sassy.
that he feels the same way as Killua, and that's part of his problem as to why his mother has an invisible leash on him. Is he's clearly intrigued by the prospect of friends, probably less so than Killua was around his age. Because Killua, from his offer to Canary, clearly wanted to have friends as any other kid his age probably would. But obviously, friendship would confuse things when it comes to being the head of an assassin family.
Yeah.
So the parents did everything they could to dissuade that idea. Then all of a sudden, your brother comes home after running away and stabbing your mother, your older brother, and is like, his friends come several days after him looking for him. So there's that whole idea of the outside and all of that. And Akikyo is like, Kalito, why are you still standing there? And he runs behind her, and they all run to where Killua has now been told by Zeno to meet with his father because dad wants to see him. And Miluki's being a little bitch. He's like, but, you know, this kid is dumb and he's screwing things up with friendship or whatever. And I can be useful too. I have this thing with this mosquito where I could put a homing missile on it or some junk. Yeah. But the mosquito, I still haven't figured out how to make it target people. And the old man is like, you would be useful if you weren't so stupid. But they have a conversation about how Killua is perhaps the most talented Zoldyck of all time. Which
all time.
I don't know. Like, they would have to show me more evidence to prove that. Because from what I hear about the other Zoldycks, goddamn.
Well, for his age, they're probably talking about it, probably. You know? For his age. Because you're not going to compare, like, Zeno and Zilva to what fucking
Killua can do. I'm just talking about their career achievements. And I wasn't talking about Zeno either.
Oh, you weren't talking about Zeno? I thought you were talking about...
No, the great-grandfather's always thinking of.
Oh, well, he... Well, yeah, I'm not gonna spoil shit, but... He's very powerful because of who he fought.
Yeah, but he's also probably a million years old, so...
Yeah, well, he doesn't look like a human being at this point anymore.
He does not. So, Killua goes to meet with his father, and he's sort of... afraid, I guess, of...
Yeah, can I just say that the freaking... The music for this episode, like, they give him the little... the opera thing or whatever, the choir, the... And I swear it says Soldic over and over again, or is that just me?
It probably does. I wasn't listening closely enough because the music was already creepy. Yeah. And then that combined with the way Silva's eyebrows are drawn and, like, the...
That whole entire scene looked it was awesome in the manga, and they did such a good job of animating it, you know, with the color scheme and everything, and the music. It was just perfectly well done.
And, like, his protruding crazy man cheekbones, I was like...
Yeah, and we find out that dog is not Mika, it's another dog.
Yes, now that's good to know. It's another dog it looked white. I'm not sure if it is white, because of the lighting in the room, but... Killua was sitting down on this chair, which has to be like 10 feet away from his dad. And he's like, okay, so tell me about what happened when you left home. What was the hunter exam like? He's like, it was super easy. I was disappointed, which, whatever, dude. And then he says, so tell me about these friends that have shown up. And, you know, don't be scared. Come over to this bed, chair. Sit it's next to me.
Has futon.
I know. It was like a bed, and then they took the effort to convert it to chair for both of them to sit on it. I'm like, but y'all could just sat on the bed. Your father and son, there's nothing wrong with that. Usually. So, he's just telling them stories about Gon and only Gon. And how ridiculous Gon is, and how he's nothing like anybody he's ever met. And they're both kind of laughing at everything, you know, they've told. And the his mother sort of rushes in just as Silva has made this blood pact with his son that he'll never betray his friends, and he's like, okay, you can go.
Oh, before that, though, we do get a scene change back to Gon and everybody with Canary. And Canary is alive. Like, she didn't die or anything. She's alive, and she basically just says that she's glad that his friends are here. And it was a very little scene, but at least we know that she's not dead.
Yeah, which is useful information.
Right.
And of course, it seems like she wanted to be his friend, but because of their obvious circumstance, she can't be his friend. So she's grateful that somebody has stepped up and filled that position for Killua, and they could basically be the people that make him into not his brother, in the case of Illumi. So she offers them the help of taking him to the butler's residence, which has a phone with a main line to the house. So back in the room, Silva asks him, do you want to go and see your friends? And he's like, yeah, more than anything. So he's like, okay, cool. As long as you promise you're gonna be a good friend to them, you're never gonna betray them, it is totally fine if you go. Because this is also information that you need to know. And his wife busts in as he's leaving, and she's like, "What are you doing? You can't let Killua go. He just came back." And Killua is like, "Bitch, get out of my way.
Yeah.
I will not let you stop me."
And she squealed in so much pleasure.
She's like, "Oh, he's growing up so much." And he leaves. And it's like, the part that amused me so much about the scene is that Kalato is still there. And she yells at Silva over letting him go. And Silva's like, "Shut up, bitch. Don't you think I know what I'm doing?" I'm like, anyway. And he's like, "Clearly, I'm letting him do this so I can guarantee he comes back to me later."
Yeah. Which, once again, it's been, and we still have it as, yeah, he is this creepy ass, like, maniacal laugh sort of thing where he's just, like, laughing and kind of shaking, and he's like, he'll come home one day as he's doing, like, and his theory is just because he's his son.
Yeah,
And
because
that.
Killua is supposed to be, of the five children, the one that's most like him.
Oh, yeah, he looks exactly like him. He's got
Oh,
white hair
yeah.
and everything, so.
The blue eyes and all that.
Yeah, so. That we're obviously right now assuming, because that still hasn't come into play quite yet in where the story is, that's foreshadowing, obviously, but hopefully it gets addressed too at a certain point in the story. And I think that's where the end of, like, the episode ends, right?
Yeah, with him leaving.
Right. So now Killua is free and gone, and the others are at the butler's office. I guess they're just gonna kind of sit there and wait, or figure out to do something until gone, or until Killua reaches them. But we get the preview for next episode, and God, what's it called? I gotta wait for the subtitles to come out. We see a butler playing a coin. Oh, can't see if you're blind. That's the name of the episode. We see Canary being held hostage with a blade against her. And then we see the butler again with a coin, and then gone with
Eye patch.
eye patch. And then he sticks his tongue out. And that's it. So that was episode 24. Thoughts?
Well, I did think it was interesting to see people's reactions to his family, because they're, even for assassin families that I've seen portrayed, they're not the typical family at all. And there is a wealth of issues that a psychiatrist would just go crazy with.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, but I don't you think that that would be true for any family that's an assassin family?
I mean, I think every assassin family would be different from the norm, and you wouldn't expect them to care for each other. I think the part that makes the Zoldyck more creepy than anybody else is that they have all of the classic elements of an assassin family, like the disdain for human life in general, the elitism, the secrecy, the wealth. They have all of that junk, but they're not as detached from each other as you would expect. Like, they still have the familial bonds, but they're not normal in any way.
Someone on Twitter compared the Zoldyck family to the Addams family on crack. And I was like, maybe to a certain extent, I could see how you can make that.
I think they're like a serious Addams family,
Yeah,
but
because there's no, I mean, the Addams family are just kind of like, yeah, they were fucked up. But if you looked at individual people, it wasn't like, hey, Morticia got off with masochism and sadism. You know, like, that's not what she did.
they just got off with like French and dancing with each other.
Right. Oh, I mean,
But
actually, no. Now that I think about it, she did, like,
they
enjoy
were very morbid
getting.
and somewhat sadistic. I don't think it was masochism for her, but they were definitely sadistic. the kids usually, they definitely took pleasure in like harming things, killing things, seeing things die, and a lot of their entertainment was very, I guess, gothic to a certain degree, but they were always happy, I think, but just in a weird sort of way. And it was just the things that made them happy were things that would typically make people sad. So that was one of the main appeals of the series, just how outside of the norm all of their interests were, but they were still at the very core a normal family.
Yeah. But we looked at these people, and they do have a code about, what they can and can't do to each other. But the thing that I enjoy is that they can be such like nice in one moment, like where like the dad was doing this, and he's like, "Oh, it's okay, Killua, you're gonna be set free. It's gonna be fine." But it was for a purpose. Like, he didn't just let him do whatever. He said, yeah, he's gonna go and he's gonna come back because he's my son.
I think it's the he's obviously seen that the way they've been doing it so far hasn't worked, because he obviously wanted to run away from the family because of all the pressure they're putting on him to fit into the neat little mold of future family head. And he clearly, even though he's only 12, has already started pushing back against all of that pressure. And if you let that continue to build up, if you do things like put him in solitary confinement or beat him until he can't move anymore, it's only going to build up more and more resentment. So what you do is you let him feel as though he's free, but you still have him trapped in a cage. And that obviously is way more sinister than what his mother had in mind, which was basically beat him until he says he's sorry, and then smother him like you've been doing all along. And he just like chastises her. He's like, I think on a higher level than you. Go continue, do whatever craziness you were into.
It's like, yeah, woman, go back in the kitchen, make me a sandwich.
I wouldn't want the sandwich from her. But he's like, I got this. And I think to a certain degree, as far as what we know right now, he does have this. Killua has no idea what he's planning to do for right now. Of course, later he's like, I know my family better than they think I know them.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. He's definitely doing a lot of assumptions, but I mean, he does have some sort of knowledge of his own son.
Yeah. I mean, he's 12. Like, how complicated could he possibly be?
I don't know. I feel like if you kill a person, that changes you a lot, so that would be a little bit different.
I think so, but I think the reason why he believes that is because he went through the same thing at 12. His oldest son, for sure, has gone through the same thing.
The
Miluki,
younger son.
I don't know, but the
But
younger son.
Maluki's not a fighter. He's a schemer. He
The
got the brains.
youngest son has gone through the same thing at a younger age than Killua and passed all of that junk, except for clearly the Hunter exam, because Killua and Inumi were the first ones to take it, and they both took it at the same time.
Yeah. But I thought the episode was awesome. Definitely exceeded my expectations just because of the whole concept of more blood, action, great filler.
Some imagined backstory.
Yes, great backstory. The music, like I said, the Zoldyck little like opera thing that they have. Like, I swear they say the same Zoldyck over and over again, kind of like Sephiroth and One Winged
Maybe
Angel.
they do.
Yeah.
But now I would love to see in the future that little filler tie in with Meteor City. I was gonna say Ryusei Gai, and I'm like, I gotta stop doing that. With Meteor, because like in the episode, I was so set on Meteor City in my head as I was watching it, right? I see Meteor City on the screen, and I started preparing myself to hear her say Meteor City. Then she said Ryusei Gai, and I was completely thrown off. I think I missed the next sentence because of that. It's like, why are you not? Anyway, but I would love to see them visit that area, because she does describe it the way we've obviously described it, and I think someone in the spiders explains what their town is like, but it's basically the world's garbage dump, and everything gets dropped there. I guess whether it's legal weapons, filth, human excrement, animal excrement, probably nuclear waste, probably corpses, rejected medications, things that kill you in general. So the people, because of their tough environment, they've the ones that have survived have grown up to be really strong and really distrustful of people in general.
Yep. It's the scum of the earth are supposed to originate from there.
And when you hear about it, you can't blame them for being
Nope.
scum.
But I mean there's a lot of stuff that I want to mention, but I feel like it'll be spoiler for people that haven't read the manga yet, so I will refrain from doing so.
I did get in a discussion, and of course I forget which volume this is, that the story is in right now.
Wait, you're talking about like anime-wise? I think it's volume 4.
Right. So, the discussion was basically on the topic of the hiatus of Hunter x Hunter, and was like, wouldn't the hiatus he's taking be problematic for the anime? And I'm like,
No.
not for a long time, considering that we're at episode 24 and this is still the very early volumes.
Oh no, it's volume 7.
Yeah, that's still pretty early. It's
Right.
of 30 release volumes currently. It's roughly one fourth of the way through. So he's got a year and a half, 2 years
Yeah.
that he could just
Oh.
dick around. He shouldn't. I hope he doesn't, but he's got
No.
time.
Well, if you think about it, we go, and by the rate of most animes, you go, what, 30 episodes a year?
52.
Or so? Or a year, 52?
Yeah, there's 52 weeks in a year.
Oh, shit, yeah, what am I thinking? What's 30? Anyway, sorry, anyways, I don't know. I for some reason, I had the number of 30 in my here in
That's
my
like
head.
American TV seasons. That's
Yes.
roughly 30 episodes. Usually between 23 and 30.
So 52 episodes that let's say cover a chapter, maybe more. I mean, he can be gone for I want to say a year and a half to 2 years before we even get to where the last anime ended.
Yeah, it depends
And they didn't
on.
even cover like the last two arcs before that.
Right, so they've got room. Now, obviously, whenever he comes back, he needs to give a full year's worth of chapters, which I don't know. I don't think that'll happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up like the first series did, and they're just like, screw it, we'll do OVAs whenever he finishes an arc and just work with that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that that's not the case, because then what the fuck was the point, you know?
Oh, the point was making money, getting
No,
people
I know, I get
interested in
that,
it again.
I understand that, and it was a good plan, but why would they put all this effort into starting it back up again if he doesn't plan on finishing it, you
He
know,
did.
like within the certain time?
I think that, well, I don't know about a certain time. I don't think you could put time limits on him because of the way he's pushed against deadlines so far with the whole length of this manga. But I think that he's obviously well aware that at some point it's going to be very serious deadlines that he'll have to meet, or he will jeopardize the whole effort that that Jump Shueisha and Madhouse and TV Asahi. What's the channel that it's on?
What the Nippon?
Yes, a Nippon TV that
Yeah.
they've the agreement that all of them have made. So I think he's aware of that. He's obviously much further along than he was the first time. So there's less work that he has to do, but there's three or four or five or six arcs left in the story, according to him. So he's gonna clearly have to write those, and I'm hoping that the hiatus is for ironing out of the story.
Yeah, no, it's I got mad again, like I did last time when the hiatus happened. It's like, ah, I should have known better. But, you know, whatevs.
Even mad, it's like, oh, okay,
Yeah.
another break then.
Well, what was it? Someone mentioned something about like fucking Oda taking a break next week. And
What, for
someone's
one
like,
week?
yeah, for 1 week. And someone's like, ah, fucking Oda, why do you have to take a break? How many breaks do you need? And I was like, shut the fuck up. Togashi says hi.
You're just lucky he's not close friends with Togashi,
Yeah.
because they would be taking vacations together and crap. It's like, Oda, you've never been to Egypt, right?
I'm like, dude, for all, like, you know, if Togashi or if Oda took a break longer, I mean, there was that 1 month break. When he did the time skip, people were flipping the fuck out that it was too long to go without One Piece. I'm like, dude, that's
Right.
a month. Imagine going a whole year without a whole like chapter.
It's a comic book, guys. Come
Yes.
on. It will exist and your life will go on. Trust me. Or not exist. And it's like, I've been a fan of so many things that take stupidly long breaks and don't even tell people, you know, what's up. So you just get used to it. And,
Yeah,
you
it's.
I mean, it sucks that you get used to it, but more stuff is going to get released when it gets released. There's nothing we can do to push it along faster. There's nothing Shonen Jump can do, clearly. So when he gets back into releasing chapters is obviously when our manga discussion segment is going to come back. Until then, how about you use the time that he's not making anything new and you're not falling further and further behind and get caught up with the manga.
Yes, do that. And support the official release because the new chat, not the new chapter, the new volume comes out in September, volume 28, the English edition. And currently the volumes are kind of like out of print or whatever, so I'm not sure what the situation is anymore because we lost our contact at Shonen Jump. But we have this if more I feel like if more people buy the volume that maybe they'll reprint the original ones that way people can go and read and then get caught up that way too.
Should be awesome.
Yes, because I feel like it's kind of a detriment on the series by saying, hey, we have the anime running right now and it's an episode, 23. Or 23, and the manga is available, but some volumes are, $50. Like, no one's gonna pay $50 for a volume. That's stupid.
Okay.
What?
So I the email address is hxhpodcast@gmail.com. The website is hxhpodcast.wordpress.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter at hxhpodcast.